Good day, and welcome to the boohoo.com PLC trading update call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Neil Cuttle. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Bettina. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining our peak trading update conference call. Today, we're going to be talking about the four-month period ended 31st of December 2016, and that period spans the entire peak trading period. On the call this morning, I'm joined by Mahmood Kamani and Carol Kane, our joint CEOs. I'm going to take you briefly through our trading performance for the period before opening up the call for any questions you might have for Mahmood, Carol, or myself. As you know, when we last spoke to you a few weeks ago, we announced that we'd experienced strong trading across the Black Friday period and in the early part of December. So it's probably no surprise, and you can see from the results, that we've had a good 4 months. Our total sales for the four-month period ended 31st of December were £114.3 million, and that was a 55% year-on-year increase, or 52% on a constant currency basis. So we're really pleased with that performance, and we've seen growth accelerate into the peak period after a strong first half of the year, and we're especially pleased as we knew the comparatives for the same period of last year were also very strong. We've continued to invest in our customer proposition in lots of different areas, and I'll touch on that in a minute. And those investments have continued to drive growth and improve customer lifetime value. Black Friday and the Cyber Weekend, which now seem like a well-established phenomenon all over the world, really lived up to expectations, but we also saw strong demand in the early part of the season and in the immediate run-up to the Cyber Weekend through the first few weeks of November. We saw huge increases in traffic over the Cyber Weekend, and that was in all of our key markets. Looking at the sales by region, the UK market produced another robust performance with sales up 31% year on year. If you take the quarterly figures at face value, it looks like a deceleration of growth through the year, but that deceleration is entirely accounted for by lower growth of third-party sales. If you look at like-for-like retail sales growth in the UK, excluding third-party sales, the growth has been consistent throughout the year so far at around 30%. So it's pleasing to see that level of growth and momentum continuing to be maintained in our most mature market. Internationally, we've seen acceleration in growth in all regions. You can see that the currency headwinds are now firmly behind us, and sterling growth was higher than constant currency sales growth in all regions. We still have legacy hedged positions in US dollars, Australian dollars and euros, but we've invested in price in all international markets, and that's driven higher volumes than we'd anticipated in our hedging strategy and enabled us to take advantage of favourable market exchange rates. Obviously, the standout performance was in the USA, where sales were up 230% in sterling terms or 188% on a constant currency basis. So that's a very encouraging performance in the territory, which is by far and away the biggest of our key markets. We've also seen encouraging performances in the rest of Europe region, where sales increased 63% year on year, and in the rest of the world region, where sales increased 66% year on year. So we're extremely pleased with that level of growth, which has been driven by further investments in the customer proposition. We've talked previously about several new product launches, and the latest launch in the period that we're talking about today was Kidswear. Kidswear has been a really successful launch, one of the best, if not the best, we've ever seen, and we've also seen the menswear business gain a lot of traction in the recent months. As I said before, we've continued to invest in price in all of our key markets, and we're gaining a lot of insight around the elasticity of demand to changes in price and feeding that insight back into our pricing policy. And as you can see from the top line growth, that approach is working really well. We've said before that we're making these types of investments in order to increase customer lifetime value, and that's manifest in our improved customer engagement metrics, where we've seen strong conversion rates, increased order frequency, higher average order values, and higher numbers of active customers. So we're pleased to report that we've passed another significant milestone with over 5 million customers shopping with Boohoo in the last 12 months. That was an increase in active customer numbers of 31% on the previous 12 months. These improvements in the customer proposition have, of course, resulted in a lower gross profit margin. The retail gross profit margin was still healthy at 54.4%, and that was down 260 basis points on the same period of last year. The lower gross profit margin was predominantly due to investments in price and promotional activity, which accounted for around 290 basis points of a decrease. Foreign currency fluctuations accounted for a net benefit of around 30 basis points. That's a net benefit because we've seen increased costs where we purchase products in US dollars or other currencies. And our approach has not been to increase prices in response to higher input costs resulting from currency fluctuations. Internationally, where sales are in foreign currencies, we stand to gain from a weaker sterling, and we've invested all of those gains and some more in price, and that's enabled us to gain competitive advantage rather than bank on higher gross profit margins. And the benefits that we're seeing are increased growth, stronger customer engagement KPIs, and better leverage on our operating costs. So we're very pleased with the results that this approach is producing, and our customers are clearly very happy with it too. We've seen healthy cash generation during the four-month period, and our cash position at the end of December was £69 million compared to £67 million at the 31st of August and £59 million at 31st of December 2015, a year ago. And that was after accounting for a payment of £3.3 million in respect of the acquisition of Pretty Little Thing and a further $3 million deposit that was paid relating to the Nasty Gal transaction. Operationally, it's also been a great 4 months. We've been able to cope with growth rates over 50% and maintain service levels to our customers. We've continued with our investment programs in the Burnley Distribution Centre, and we've also made good progress in developing our front-end websites and apps. The most notable achievement in that area is that we've replatformed the US business. I'd also just like to give a quick update on our M&A activity. We announced over Christmas that we've signed an asset purchase agreement to purchase certain assets of Nasty Gal Inc., which entered a Chapter 11 restructuring process in the US in November. This commits us to pay $20 million for the intellectual property and customer data. There is, though, an auction process ongoing for the next 30 or so days in which other bids for those assets and other assets may be received. So if another party is successful in buying those assets, then we'll receive some downside protection in the form of a breakup fee and a contribution to our costs, including legal costs. The other item worthy of note is that we've also announced that we completed the acquisition of a majority stake in Pretty Little Thing, and that was announced on January the 3rd. So just before I turn the call over to questions and answers, I'd like to touch briefly on guidance for the rest of the year. The strong growth that we've seen has meant that we've uplifted our sales guidance. We now expect sales for the year to be up between 43% and 45% on last year. That's an upgrade from our previous guidance, which was between 38% and 42%. And I'd like to be clear at this point that we're just talking about Boohoo, excluding Pretty Little Thing, or PLT as I'll call it. Including PLT's sales for January and February, we'd expect group sales growth for the year to be between 46% and 48%. As far as EBITDA guidance is concerned, we expect that group EBITDA margin will be between 11% and 12%. So I think that's all I wanted to cover today. So thanks very much for listening, and I'd now like to open up the call for any questions that you might have. Thanks.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. Our first question today comes from Alistair Davis of Investec. Please go ahead.
Morning, Neil. Just have one question around the customer number growth. Is there any colour you can give in terms of how that's broken down between UK and international markets?
Thanks, Alistair. Well, we don't break down the customer numbers between the different international markets, as you know, but what I would say is that the customer growth has been in a similar vein, increasing in relation to sales across all of the markets. We have seen some strong growth in customer numbers internationally, as you'd expect. So in the US, we've seen a lot of customer adds, as well as in Europe, as well, but we've continued to gain new customers in the UK as well.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I guess what I was trying to get towards is on those KPIs you talk about improving, has the UK been one of the stronger contributors to some of those upticks in terms of frequency, conversion, order value, etc.?
In terms of frequency, the UK has been one of the strongest performers, and in terms of average order value, it's been up in the UK. And in terms of actual customer numbers, we've been pleased with the number of new customers that we've been acquiring in, which is our most mature market.
Okay, thanks a lot.
We will now take our next question from John Stevenson of Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot. Morning, everyone. A couple of questions from me, please. Just starting with the US. Obviously, it's been a very successful season. I think sort of built on the campaigns you sort of talked about at the half year, and then price investment. But given that, is there any reason why that momentum should actually drop off, certainly as we go into the first half of next year, until you start to annualise that? I mean, it feels like it's been it's quite clear reasons why that growth has come through, and should we be assuming good momentum into the new financial year. Second question, just in terms of marketing investment. Just thinking at the moment just about PLT, but I guess maybe Nasty Gal as well, how do you feel about the balance between sort of delivering accelerating growth versus sort of group margin? Are we going to see essentially investment to drive the growth in the potential new businesses? And finally, again, just thinking of gross margin for the core next year, how should we again be thinking about that balance of gross margin investment and marketing going forward?
Okay, thanks, John. So the US, yes, it's been a successful season. So we did start the season with some campaigns around our plus size range and working with lots of different influencers. I think that gave us some good momentum in terms of increased traffic in the early part of the season. And then we've been actually investing in price and the proposition in the US, which has seen good conversion rates of the traffic. So overall, it's been a great period, and we've made a big step up there. So we're pretty optimistic about the US. It's a massive opportunity, and that's what we'd expect to. That's going to be our approach going forward with that. The marketing investment with PLT and Nasty Gal, I mean, we'll see those two things, if we're successful with the Nasty Gal bid, being discrete businesses from Boohoo. We want the brands to be completely separate in terms of personality, and the businesses to be run quite autonomously. So we'd look at the combination of the marketing investments separately for each of those businesses and see how they're performing in all of their key markets. So that's the way we'd look at that. Of course, we have got a lot of investment to make generally in the business if we are working with other businesses. So PLT is going to be very much a standalone add-on. Nasty Gal would be run as an autonomous business, but we'd have investments generally to make across the piece in our logistics and so on. But it shouldn't impact our ability to invest in marketing where we think we're going to get a good return. So gross margins, I think the consensus for fiscal year 18 is 53.1%. So we see some modest increases in investments in price, because we've seen that approach being successful in the last couple of years. So we'll continue to do that and continue to leverage our marketing costs as we have done. But obviously, we want to be able to make marketing investments where we see there's good opportunities to run successful campaigns in some of our markets.
Okay, fine. I mean, I suppose, look, get back on the PLT point. I suppose, when you've got, if you look at Boohoo at that sort of scale of development, I guess maybe, you know, you had to, the infrastructure investment from scratch, but you know, you have a sort of period of loss making as you drive the, you know, the sort of reach of the brand. Are you sort of suggesting that you're not going to run them as sort of loss making businesses initially to drive that reach?
Well, Boohoo's been obviously profitable. PLT has just got to the break-even point, but there is further investment to make in our overall operational infrastructure. But there's no reason why all of those brands can't be profitable in the medium term and at similar levels to Boohoo. But what we're seeing is we will have a period next year of investment if we have got the two additional brands in there.
Okay, fantastic. Brilliant. Thanks, Neil.
Thanks, John.
Our next question today comes from Dan Homan of Citi.
Hi, morning, Neil.
Hi, Dan.
Just a couple of questions. First of all, in terms of the third party, you're quite clear about the slowdown in third party has affected the UK growth. Is there anything of note in third party in the other regions that might have affected the growth rates versus last quarter?
No, nothing major in there in the other regions. Most of our third-party sales are in the UK.
Okay, so that remains the case. And then, technically, just in terms of Nasty Gal, I know it's not gone through yet, but would acquiring those assets speed up any thought process around introducing US warehousing? Were you happy that you'd be able to run the business from the UK, even if the US becomes quite a significant portion of revenue?
At the moment, as far as Boohoo and Pretty Little Thing is concerned, we're happy that we can run those businesses from the UK. I can't really say anything about Nasty Gal operations at the moment. Obviously, commercially, it's not. We've not got a final deal yet. So, if anything, the traction that we're seeing generally in the US would lead us to believe that we'd have a warehousing operation earlier than we might otherwise have done before. But it's still a long way off, and we're still happy with the way the business is performing, shipping everything from the DC in Burnley.
Okay, great, thanks.
Our next question comes from Simon Bowler of Exane. Please go ahead.
Hi, Simon.
Hello, sorry, it was on mute. Good morning. Just a couple of quick questions to expand on a few things, if that's okay. Firstly, the third-party sales within the UK, to what extent was that a deliberate strategy through from yourselves versus, you know, any kind of communications from any of those kind of aggregators that you're working with? Secondly, can you just talk about where the operating cost leverage is coming from? Should we expect to see kind of a very material step down in marketing costs in the second half of the year as we saw in the first half? And then finally, I don't know where you are on this, and it might be too early, but how are you planning to report Boohoo and Pretty Little Thing going forward? Will we get a kind of a fully costed Pretty Little Thing P&L, do you think?
Okay, I'll take each of those three questions. Firstly, the third-party sales, is it a deliberate strategy? Our deliberate strategy has been to work with really quality platforms and quality partners, and so that's been a deliberate strategy, and what we're seeing is that we've not expanded the number of partners that we're working with massively during the year, but we're happy with the handful of trials that we've got going on the third-party side, and we're just happy with the way that business is developing. It's doing what we want it to do, which is expose the brand to more customers. And so that's fine. And obviously, without the third-party sales, the UK growth, we're happy with that level of momentum. On the marketing costs and operating leverage, I think what I would say is that you'll probably see marketing costs at a similar level to what we saw in the first half. And even though we've made some investments in marketing, we're getting more effective with the marketing investments, and they're more effective with our improved proposition. So you probably see for the second half marketing costs in a similar area as a percentage of sales to what you saw in the first half of the year. And then the reporting of of potential additional brands, we will be updating our segmental reporting for the final results for the year, and we'll be reporting segmentally by brand as well as by geography. So what exactly that looks like, it will be firming up over the next couple of months.
Sounds great. Thanks, Neil.
Thanks, Simon.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question today comes from Matthew McEgran of N+1 Singer.
Hi Neil, yeah, it's Matthew here. Just a quick question in relation to the USA business, and perhaps could you give us a flavour of what the effects were in terms of the replatforming? On the one hand, you know, what was the disruption effect in October, and then perhaps give us some idea as to how beneficial it's been, you know, post the completion of the replatform in terms of conversion rates and other sort of metrics.
So we don't really give much detail on conversion rates by territory, but obviously you can see from the results that it's been a great period in the US, and we replatformed midway through the period. So no major disruption there. You obviously, when you do replatform, you always get some disruption, but thankfully it went very well. And obviously it's performed well throughout the period.
So just in terms of the overall performance that you've reported on a reported currency basis rather than constant exchange rate, you know, would it be fair to say that the second part of the 4 months period, you know, reflected the replatforming and effectively is at a higher growth rate than the average that you reported?
It wasn't related to that. I mean, what we did see in the US was a very strong period over Black Friday, and but that's more a reflection of the momentum that we had going into that peak period anyway.
Understood. You carry on.
I think a lot of the opportunities around the platform that we have in the US are that it does give us further options for different content and personalisation, but those are benefits that are yet to come.
Yeah, understood. I mean, we've seen from other online retailers that you know, the gross margin opportunity selling into the US is very significant, you know, given the sales tax differences. You've made a lot of investment in price to compete. You know, how different is the gross margin for you, having made those investments?
Having made the investments, it's marginally higher than the UK margin. So that benefit is being invested in our pricing structure there, and we're seeing good results from that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's great. Yeah. Thanks very much indeed.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take a question from George Manfa, Shore Capital. Please go ahead.
Morning, Neil. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, just in regard to, you've talked about product ranges there and you highlighted children's wear. I was wondering if you could talk about whether there were any further product ranges that you saw drive growth during the period, and just in terms of what impact children's wear had on your active customer growth of 31% during the period. So just to get a feel for what the underlying growth rate is in your sort of core customer demographic. And then just in terms of my second question, you mentioned higher input costs as sort of a pull on currency movements. I was just wondering if you could give us a flavour for what the input cost pressure might be for the next financial year.
Morning, George. Carol speaking. I'll answer your question on proposition in terms of product.
We did so many launches last year, and I think the next 12 months what we'll see is a continuation to build on all of those product ranges. I mean, that incremental sales that we've seen come from really right across the board, so a lot of our mature areas in the business have done very, very well, and we're seeing lots and lots of growth there just in, you know, occasion wear dresses and all that stuff that, you know, we've been building up for many years. And I often talk about the extended sizes that we're now offering, which has given us lots of incremental growth. But just to pull out the two things that Neil talked about in terms of kids wear, it's still very small, but it, as kid, you know, as Neil said earlier, it has been a really fantastic growth. We're as yet to start segmenting but the customer base around that, but we know that we have a customer who's aging with us. Who has children, so we've done that piece of work. So some of those customers will be new, but some of them will be existing customers that are actually maturing with us as a brand. So that's on kidswear, and then menswear has been, you know, the newer opportunity when we replatform menswear and give it its own identity. So obviously there's a lot of new customers we're building there. But as for product ranges going forward, there's more of the same that we're building on. And there'll always be a new update come the end of year results when we'll be able to fully update you with any new proposition that we're putting in place for the next 12 months.
Hi, George. And on the input costs with the currency fluctuations, it's difficult to talk about exactly what the impact's going to be going forward because we hedge a net position between our dollar receipts and our dollar purchases. So obviously we're impacted there, but we're only buying about between 12 and 15% of our purchases in US dollars at the moment. And now our sales in US dollars are increasing quite significantly, as you can see. So our overall net-net, we stand to benefit from that. But what we are doing is reinvesting a lot of those gains on the sales side into price and proposition. But the higher input cost side of it should be less than for next year, about, if you isolate that out, about 70 basis points.
Okay. Thank you.
There are currently no further questions. However, should you wish to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. As there are no further questions, I would now like to turn the call over to your host today for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, well, thanks very much, everybody, for joining the call. Obviously, it's been a good four-month period, and I'd like to close the call now and wish you all a happy new year. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.